this comes up on the forums and stuff a lot, like what do you pay for your taxes? And what you pay for your taxes and preparation is totally different than if you're paying for strategy and you're paying for savings. So if all you're paying for is someone to take your numbers, put it on a form at the end of the year, that's a whole different game than if you're paying someone throughout the year, coming to them, like I mentioned, the client who was like, how do I write off, how do I wipe out this income for the year?
Your network is your net worth. Come listen to some of the most successful people I know share invaluable knowledge, stories, and advice in real estate, business, and beyond. This is Weiss Advice. Whether you want to take your business or personal life to the next level, look no further. Welcome back to another episode of Weiss Advice. I am your host, Yona Weiss. As always, excited to be here for another amazing episode. Thank you guys for joining us once again. And today we have an amazing guest, Natalie Kalati. I'm excited to talk taxes with you because, as you know, as some of our listeners know, that is something that I deal with a lot. So it's always good to speak to an accountant who gets it and understands probably a lot more than I do on the subject.
Perfect. Well, I'm excited to be here and very excited to talk about taxes pretty much always.
It's amazing, right? I think that's, for a lot of people, it's an anomaly, right? But yeah. People who like to talk about taxes do. And I think, you know, for our listeners who don't know who you are, I'd love for you to just give a little background, introduce yourself, tell us who you are and how you got started and what you're up to.
Yeah. So I think most people know me from Bigger Pockets. I've been on there since 2013. I'm a moderator on there. I got started on there because I was brand new in real estate and trying to learn. And so it's a great place to ask questions and figure those things out. And then along the way, I realized I could help people with their tax questions. So I've been on there for years. I'm a real estate tax strategist. I'm an enrolled agent with the IRS, and I've worked exclusively with real estate investors since 2014.
That's pretty awesome. So you have your own tax practice now, your own company, I assume?
Yep. Yeah. I've been on my own since 2017 with Kalati Tax and working just with real estate investors and more on kind of the planning and strategy side, the proactive, not the reactive, kind of looking at the big picture and taking it all into account.
That's awesome because I get asked quite often, you know, do I know any good CPAs that focus, or not CPA, you're obviously an enrolled agent, similar, but we get that asked a lot. And an accountant, someone that knows real estate and is familiar with, especially, you know, different things, cost segregation. Obviously, I get asked this a lot because, like, my accountant doesn't even know what cost segregation is. Do I need to get a new one? Like, that's a pretty common question that I get. And I'm sure you've seen that come across a lot as well.
Yeah, quite a bit. And it's so tricky because so many people have had a great ongoing relationship with their accountant and then get into real estate and their accountant just doesn't. They don't do that really. So it's kind of this tricky balance of finding the information you need and finding someone who can really help you. And then as people grow, sometimes they outgrow that person they were with before.
Yeah. And I think it's fair to say, I mean, you are a specialist. You are really great at what you do. But if someone came to you and like, hey, Natalie, and I don't know, maybe you are an expert in other fields as well, but like, I'm really getting into, we're deeply in the crypto space or oil and gas or, you know, starting a restaurant chain, like you may be like, that's not my really area of specialty, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I tell everyone, I feel like your first choice kind of with picking someone should be someone who specializes in your field. There's hundreds of thousands of pages of tax code. No one's going to know all of it. Like, we can't do that. We're not robots. So you want someone who's seeing your situation and what you're doing all day, every day, instead of sprinklings of everything, like master of none, you know, sees everything kind of thing. So yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, as you said, you're pretty active on Bigger Pockets. That's where we found each other years ago. How do you actually become, I'm curious, become a moderator on Bigger Pockets? Because you see a lot of moderators on the platform. Love to hear how you get into that role.
Well, first, you just have to seem like someone who just has a lot of free time to babysit adults on the internet. So as soon as you give that out there, like you give forth that impression, boy, they just sign you right up. I'm not even sure how it happened. I just sort of, Bigger Pockets is all about networking and that's real estate. So you sort of start talking to people and they try to like vary the moderators a little bit. So they have people that relate to each forum on there and who are active in each of the forums, and they needed to scoop in a tax person, and no one loves following rules like an accountant. So we're just, we're excellent moderators.
That's great. And so is it, I mean, just for my lack of knowledge on the subject and maybe for our listeners, what does that mean to actually be a moderator? Like, what does that consist of on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, we do kind of a handful of things. So on the forums, it's a lot of the reported posts when there's people marketing. Like, one of the best things of BiggerPockets is that you don't get just slammed with promotions all day. A lot of the groups, a lot of the forums, every other post is someone trying to sell you something or a deal. BiggerPockets doesn't allow it. So that's one of the biggest things, is kind of keeping that in check. Same thing on the Facebook groups and just making sure everyone's sort of behaving and acting, you know, like adults and not being mean to anyone. So it's a little bit of all of that. And yeah.
And I'm sure you come across a lot of people violating those kind of rules.
Yes.
It's really easy to slip into.
Report things. If you see something wrong, tell us. Because there's only a handful of us for 50,000 people in the Facebook groups. And so let us know and we'll help.
It's true. I mean, there's a lot that goes on. And I think the best part about BiggerPockets is that there isn't that, you know, spam feeling. There aren't people, and there are people that are violating it from time to time. And I've definitely reported, you know, a handful of things when I've seen things like that. But it's something that it makes the environment such a more positive and more kind of educational platform. You don't feel like you're being stuffed down the throat with all kinds of ads every second.
Yeah. And it's really a place, you've experienced this there, where you, if you give more than you take, you get from it. Like, if you're not on there marketing and promoting yourself, if you're just being helpful and, you know, giving without expecting something in return, it's an awesome place to build a community and to build a brand and build a business, because people really appreciate that. And they can tell when you're being genuine and not trying to sell at them.
100%. And people, you know, sincerely going there to ask questions because they want to learn, are sincerely looking to hear, you know, honest answers and not necessarily just be pitched. And the funniest thing is when you have certain people, and I'm sure you've seen this come across, where, like, I think that the saying goes something like that, to, you know, to a hammer, like, every problem looks like a nail, right? you have these people that are just like, oh, you should do this, right? Make sure to get a, you know, a series LLC for that. Like, what? I didn't ask about, you know, or whatever it is.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, it's one of my favorite things. It cracks me up on there because, especially with like tax or with anything, things are so personal. So like, people will hear one sentence of someone's situation and they're like, this is exactly what you need to do. I'm not an expert, but that's what I had to do. So it's what you have to do. Like, no, it might not be. That's like telling someone like that you needed a surgery because of a stomach ache when they just need a Tums. Like, these might be totally different situations.
They totally are. And I'm sure you see this a lot. Like, the most common answer you can give as a an accountant is like, well, it depends on your facts and circumstances, you know? So there's never going to be one size fits all. But I do find that quite hilarious. Just on the subject still, because it is entertaining to me a little bit. Like, if you have any like stories or any specific things that like come up that was just like something that was either like overboard or something that you had to deal with or just something that was like funny, I don't know, any funny experiences as being a moderator.
This is one of the things that's been funniest to me, is I feel like when you're on any platform for a while and saying the same things over and over again, people start recognizing that. So like, I don't know if you can see this, but this t-shirt literally says an LLC doesn't equal tax savings. And I had it made because people say so often to people like, oh, you need an LLC and then you can write this off and then you can do that. And it doesn't change anything. It doesn't. And same thing with S corps. You always hear people, oh, you need an S corp. And we typically don't want rentals and S corps. So I made a t-shirt for that too. And now when people say that, I just post the picture of the t-shirt, and I'm not sure why a t-shirt like gives more authority on the internet than a master's degree, but boy, it does. People respect the t-shirt. So if you're trying to drive any points home in your industry, put it on a t-shirt.
That's so funny. That's hilarious. There's actually, that reminds me, there's this attorney, like a real estate attorney, Neil Greenbaum, that he's pretty active, or used to be pretty active on LinkedIn. And he had all these different t-shirts printed up also that were just like hilarious, like funny things. Yeah. Like, this is not legal advice, or just things that were just like, you know, read the fine print, or I don't know, just funny things. They were funnier than those, but you're absolutely right about that. That's the t-shirt has like a t-shirt. Well, speaking of authority, let's switch into, you know, talking about taxes. You've seen some changes happen related to real estate. You know, obviously on this show, we've covered bonus depreciation, how that's phasing out quite a bit. Question we get a lot, but I'm curious to know, like, maybe some other nuances or other things that come up that maybe we should be aware of as real estate investors.
There's a few things. The things I'm big on right now are the short-term rental, I hate calling it a loophole, but sort of that strategy with cost segregation. If people haven't heard this, normally rentals hit a passive loss limit. If your income's above $150,000, even if you do an awesome cost seg and you generate hundreds of thousands of dollars of a write-off for them, they may or may not be able to actually use it that year, you know? And short-term rentals have kind of a different set of rules. So if someone's income is above $100,000 and they have rentals and they're kind of on the fence about what type, they should look at doing a short-term rental potentially because it can qualify for being non-passive, and then come talk to you about a cost segregation. And that's like a just chef's kiss combination. My other favorite thing that's sort of cost seg related, but I think a lot of people ignore, is gas stations. I don't know why more investors aren't looking at gas stations, because there's this weird law around gas stations as well, where the station, potentially a car wash, the store can all qualify as 15-year assets. And then even without a cost seg, you can use bonus depreciation and write it all off at once. And that's such a huge write-off. And no one I know talks about gas stations, and I'm very excited about them.
That is so true. That's a really good point. And I literally just had a really, good client literally just today, at the time of this recording, or in August, and they just bought a, traditionally in multifamily and other types of assets, and they just bought a car wash, and like, what should we do? And we had this back and forth conversation, and they, ultimately decided, no, we're not going to go with it. But the truth of the matter is, you're absolutely right in terms of the gas station. I think it probably has to do with the fact that it may not necessarily be the right, asset class or thing that, people want to invest in. That's just my hunch, but you're absolutely right in terms of the tax benefits.
Yeah. I had a client who just came to me who does a little bit of everything. So he does rentals, but he's doing new development and he's knocking it out of the park. And so he was literally like, what do I have to buy this year to write off against all this income? And I was like, gas station. Cause he was looking at multifamily on a small multi, like 6 unit or below. How much on average can you accelerate with a cost seg for people?
It really does depend. Say you're talking about of the tax basis, meaning minus land, which you're going to subtract, which doesn't depreciate. On average, it's about 20%, maybe 25%. Yeah. Some of it may be even less. If it's a city property without much land improvements or anything like that, even less, maybe, 15%. But that's what we're seeing. So you're not going to get anywhere close to gas station 100% of that.
Right. So obviously don't let the tail wag the dog. Don't buy based on taxes, buy what makes sense for you. But I think a lot of people just skate right past them and never even consider it because they don't want to run a business, but you can lease it out. You don't have to run a gas station. You can just own it just like any other store.
Yeah. It could be, I don't know if triple net of sorts, but I'm sure you can have a manager or some kind of business that does run it, or a partnership of some kind. If you know someone that is, looking or owning a gas station maybe, and they're managing it, but maybe just need some money. Maybe you can go in and buy it and keep them on as the owner or manager, whatever it is. I don't know.
Yep. Next t-shirt's just going to say, we love depreciation. And that's what we'll have on the next episode. Cause yeah, this is what gets me excited, is hearing the things like that, where you can kind of get creative with your real estate and look at these, the tax strategies that go with it. That's one of the best parts of real estate. And you shouldn't just stay in a little 4x4 box. See what else you can do to sort of put yourself in a better situation.
Very cool. So I have to ask, as a tax accountant who is focused specifically on real estate and very active on BiggerPockets, are you a real estate investor also?
Nope, only stocks. No, I'm kidding. No, absolutely not. Yeah, I have short-term rentals. That same exact reason.
Well, that's the smart thing to do. You're practicing what you preach.
Yep. And I started off, actually, I got started in real estate flipping mobile homes, which is something a lot of people also don't look at. I feel like it's less sexy than flipping a nice house. But the last one I did, I paid $50 for. So that's another thing where keep your eyes open. There's no wrong way to do real estate.
Wait, how do you pay $50 for a mobile home?
Yeah. So that one I found, I had searches set up. So kind of inbound searches. So I was getting notified whenever a mobile home was listed on Facebook, Craigslist, anything through an RSS feed. And I got a posting for it. A lot of people inherit them. And if they're in an age secured park, they can't live in it. A real estate agent doesn't want to help them sell it because the commission's nothing. So a lot of people, it's just costing them money every month for lot rent, but they can't move into it. It's hard to sell. It probably needs work and they just want them gone. And so it was that situation. She was literally giving it away for free and it needed work, but obviously at less than I paid for, you know, a purse. I was like, what can go wrong? Let's bought it on the spot pretty much.
Yeah. It's like, should I go to the mall today or should I buy some real estate? Like
pretty much. That's like a week's worth of Starbucks. Like, it's fine. Just buy a trailer instead and start things.
That's such a cool story. Wow. Amazing. And so the short-term rental thing obviously is something you're more actively involved with. And out of curiosity, like, how active do you have to be to run an Airbnb, a short-term rental?
Yeah, good question. So from a hands-on point of view, not very much. Like, you'll hear a lot of people who will say like, oh, you can buy them across the country, never have to touch it, fully manage. And you can in theory, but I've also had some clients with horror stories because everything on the internet's a highlight reel. So no one's on here telling you like, I bought this rental and it ruined my life. Like, you don't hear that, but it happens. So just be a little cautious. Tax-wise, if you materially participate in the property, 7 different rules for that. And I can send you a link to put in the show notes for people, but you just have to meet one of those levels. And as long as you're reaching that and your average stay is under 7 days, it falls into that sweet spot where we can potentially generate those large losses from it.
Yeah. So, I mean, how much time are you actually spending on running your rentals?
For me, not a lot. I have a ton of things automated. You can automate most of your messages, most of the booking, most of the like hire a cleaner. So you can be really quite hands off with it. And honestly, you should be or you're not going to grow.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's not a huge, maybe 5 hours a week max kind of thing for me. It's not a big time consumption.
That's pretty cool. So yeah, gives you much more time to, obviously that's the reason why you can spend so much time in bigger pockets, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And run a tax firm. Okay, guys, she is an accountant and does have her own company. No, but that's pretty awesome. That I think there are a lot of people out there that have misconceptions about real estate and investing. And it does take work, obviously. You can't, you know, necessarily just be totally passive if you want to make money, if you want to do it the right way. But there are a lot of options out there. So, I mean, it's good to hear an accountant is actually putting it into practice. I'm always surprised when I find real estate accountants or people who claim to be real estate accountants. And then they're like, oh no, I don't actually invest in real estate. And that always kind of is puzzling to me. Well, why not?
Yeah, it cracked. It's one of the, like, I wasn't planning originally to start my own firm, but that was sort of the tipping point. Was I was bringing in these clients to the CPA firm where I worked, and the partner there was like, I used to own rentals, but they're a terrible idea. I hated it. They're a stupid waste of money. He also ran an investment advisory firm. So obviously he was a little biased that your money should be in the market instead of real estate. And I was like, well, I'm not going to keep bringing people here if we're going to tell them what they're doing is stupid. Like, and we're not going to sort of dive into the options for what they can do. And so that was one of the biggest reasons I went out on my own, was because I freaking love real estate. Like, if you're not passionate about this, you shouldn't be doing it. And if your accountant doesn't like light up when you talk to them about it, go somewhere else, because they don't get it. You're going to tell them you want to retire by 40 with rentals and they're going to laugh at you and like, they're wrong. But instead of trying to prove it to them, just.
Yeah, because they're still working and, you know, and they're planning on staying, you know, working and doing that. But you're absolutely right. That's awesome. And I'm so happy that you have that passion. It definitely shines through. And I'm sure all of your clients are very grateful for that, because they're in good hands. They know that they're taken care of. And on that note, I mean, you talked about strategy and tax strategy and talking to investors about, I mean, how much time does that, like, how does that actually look like? If I say I'm a potential client and I'm like, hey, Natalie, I'd love to learn about a tax strategy for my real estate portfolio. Like, you have consultations, like, is there an hourly kind of thing, or what does that actually look like?
Yeah. So I do things on a value pricing. I think a lot of the accountants on Bigger Pockets do now. Hourly was sort of the older method and it didn't really get you strategy because it was very transactional. Like, you expect to pay for 3 hours of time to do your taxes and that's it. So like, we do quarterly phone calls, emails. Some clients have phone calls monthly. It's sort of depending on what someone needs. And that's going to change as people's, you know, real estate journey changes as well. But the biggest things I would tell people is this comes up on the forums and stuff a lot, like, what do you pay for your taxes? And what you pay for your taxes and preparation is totally different than if you're paying for strategy and you're paying for savings. So if all you're paying for is someone to take your numbers, put it on a form at the end of the year, that's a whole different game than if you're paying someone throughout the year, coming to them, like I mentioned, the client who was like, how do I write off? How do I wipe out this income for the year? Like, that's proactive. We're looking at different options. We're talking through it. And so if you're not discussing things with your accountant until tax time, the year's over. Like a lot of your opportunities are gone. So it's just a different arena. And the biggest part of that, I know that you talked to Daniel around tax time and about the importance of bookkeeping. And absolutely, like that's one of the biggest things is people want that proactive planning and this advice. And if I don't have, or any accountant doesn't have accurate, like up-to-date numbers, we're just sort of shot in the dark over here. We're just spitballing it. So having good books and like keeping your information up to date is sort of step one for getting that strategy. If you don't have that and come to a strategist, we're sort of a little limited. We're sort of ballparking things for you without good numbers. 100%. So definitely get a good bookkeeper too.
That's a really good point. Yeah. Bookkeeping, being proactive. These are all great things. And really being, you know, making sure that you're taking the time to make it a priority. It's going to save you so much more money and so much more hassle just by being proactive about it than waiting till the last minute, or maybe waiting to, okay, well, I forgot to file taxes, or I didn't file this year or last year or 3 years, you know, and that happens, you know, people, unfortunately.
It happens a lot until the second they're trying to get a loan. And now it's important because then a lender needs it. So like it all ties together. If you want to grow, you got to have your ducks in a row.
That's really, really important. And it's good to have someone who's, you know, a straight shooter like yourself and who knows how to get things done, which that's what it sounds like you do. So good for you. Do you, just out of curiosity, do you have a team also working under you? Is it remote work? Like how does it actually work nowadays?
Yeah, we're fully virtual. I have a handful of preparers right now. I'm not growing much more, honestly. I really like kind of the strategy side and working with people pretty in depth. And so it's sort of a time per client versus a volume. Like I don't need 10,000 people I talk to for 5 minutes a year. And I do a lot on the education side and kind of the speaking side of things too. So working on that side of it, putting out courses. I'll be at the Bigger Pockets conference this year. So if you're there, come check out the tax panel. So things like that. So I try to balance my time a little bit.
Awesome. Well, that's pretty, pretty exciting. Unfortunately, I will not be there. I was asked to be on that panel as well. But it just didn't work out for me, the timing this year, but appreciative for the invite from Amanda Ann. And hopefully next year I'll be invited back.
You get one chance. That's it. You're done.
Right.
I blew it.
Yeah. What can you do? But this has been awesome. Like I said, this blew by, but I want to transition now. We call the final four. These are four questions I ask all my guests. What is the worst job that you ever had?
Working at a call center. I worked at a call center for like 3 days right out of high school before I started college, that like awkward summer. And it was awful, like bothering people during dinner and having to follow up on magazine subscriptions or whatever it was for, like steer clear of call center jobs.
Oh boy. Yeah. I definitely know what that's like. Okay. Second question. What is a book you've read that's given you a paradigm shift?
Probably. It's kind of in a similar note actually to sales, but it's called Go for No. Yeah. And it's a great book that changes your mindset or sort of aims to, from getting bummed out whenever someone tells you no, to instead seeing it as, on average, most sales or most real estate or anything really. It takes so many no's before you get a yes. So instead you sort of shift your thinking to each no is getting you a little closer to what you're trying to accomplish. So it applies to everything if you can sort of get that little seed in your brain.
Totally, totally does. That's a really great book. And it's a tiny little book. I mean, it's a story basically. And highly recommend it. I'll put it in the show notes. Funny story for our listeners about that book. Someone gave me that book probably about like 5 years ago or so. And I was like blown away, like read it in one day and just like, wow, this is incredible. I was so excited about it. I posted about it on LinkedIn. As you guys who know me, I'm very, very active on that platform. And this was right when I was starting out to be active. And I remember this post. It was incredible. I was like, I love this book so much. I'm going to give this away to someone if you want to do it. So I did a raffle. I said, if you just comment on this post, we'll raffle off the book. And Matt Piccinni was the winner of that book. And I sent him the book. And that's how I first met Matt Piccinni. So crazy story. Matt, if you're listening to this, you probably remember as well, but that was a funny little anecdote. I totally forgot about that until you mentioned the book. So how do you like that?
Yeah, it's like a 40-page book. It's just like so impactful for what amount of time it takes in your life.
So incredible. Awesome. So third question, what is a skill or talent that you would like to learn?
I would love to learn computer coding. I feel like I spend all of my time trying to get people to like do the things I want, like build things on my website. And I feel like there's always a communication like what I'm trying to get, they can't make, or I don't know. I wish I could do that. I wish I could put thoughts into that. Like being in Cossack, anything with calculators and code, I just want to do it. I just want to do it better. And not in my skill set.
Well, it's probably not too difficult to do. I mean, I couldn't, I'm not speaking from experience, but, by coding, I mean, this is
why they won't help us.
Exactly. They want to keep it all for themselves. You coders. No, I have a good friend who, a real estate investor and similar kind of situation. He's like, I know the skill set is important. He went out and taught himself coding and got certified and all kinds of stuff. And then, I think it can be done. So maybe you should go for it. Go for coding.
Go for codes. Yes. Okay.
And fourth and final question, what does success mean to you?
I think success just means getting to delegate your own time, getting to choose what you do with your time.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely right.
Nailed it. 100% on that one. Yeah.
Right on the money. No, everyone has their own definition, but that's right. That's what it's about. I mean, it's about being able to choose what you do, spending your time. That's probably the most important, value that we have in this world is our time.
It absolutely is. And that's one of the greatest things I think you realize talking to people who are trying to use real estate is that answer is different for everyone, but that's what it comes down to for so many people is what they want to do with their time. And so it's not like most people want a jet and to be billionaires. Most people just want to be able to take family vacations and take Fridays off for barbecues and all of those things. And so, yeah, that's what it is for people, I think, is just having that value of their own time.
100%. That's awesome. Well, finally, Natalie, where can our listeners find you or reach out to you if they choose to?
Yeah. So you can find me on Facebook. A lot of people just add me, my business on there. I think it's Kaladi Tax and Consulting or Real Estate Tax Strategist, or you can just find Natalie Kaladi. I post a lot of tax on my personal Facebook. Colotax.com is the website. And then I'm trying to do TikTok. I know it's like little Gen Z of me. That's a little, but we're trying. There's so much bad tax on there that I'm trying to fight it. And on there, I'm Real Estate Tax Strategist. So please find me on TikTok and upvote my accurate stuff.
All right. Very cool. Awesome. Well, we will definitely put all that in the show notes for anyone who wants to check it out. And obviously on Bigger Pockets, they can find you as well.
All over Bigger Pockets.
There you go. And that's amazing. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's really been awesome. And I appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
All right. And to our listeners, thank you guys again for joining us all the way until the end. And remember, the best advice comes only when you ask. Real quick, I have one question for you. Did you like this episode? If you did, I want to ask you a huge favor. See, the biggest thing that helps this podcast grow and that will spread this message to the whole world is that if you leave a review, a rating, and subscribe to the podcast. What that does is it basically tells the platforms that this podcast is out on is that you like my stuff and I'm doing something right. So take a few seconds out of your day, hit that subscribe button, leave a rating or review. I would be extremely grateful. Also, I want to hear from you guys. So I want to hear some feedback. If you have any questions for future episodes, please find me on LinkedIn, send me a DM, a connection request, Yona Weiss, and I'd love to hear from you.